Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on the station that's raising the game for women's football. TalkSport 2.
WSL returns after the goals.
Can she finish? Yes, she can. A second in the afternoon for Claire Emsley. Everton leads 6-0.
A great week for Everton. An FA Cup final beckons as they hit Villa for six. Their opponents at Wembley will be Manchester City, who had their own rout this weekend against Spurs.
I think it's just really starting to click now on the pitch, and that's what we knew would happen.
Kristen Press and Tobin Heath impressed on debut for Manchester United, but will we get to see their USA teammate anytime soon?
No one wants to see me in a game more than myself. It's been about a year since I've competed in a match, and so I'm really eager to get on the field.
That, of course, was Tottenham's Alex Morgan. We sit down for a chat with her later, and our spotlight feature is for all you FA Women's Championship fans out there as we get up to speed with your season so far. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio. Only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
I'm Mary Earps. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Happy Monday to you all. It might be miserable outside, it certainly is where we are, but we're still smiling in the studio. I have a couple of fabulous guests for you as well. Former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci is back with us. How are you doing? How's retirement?
I'm good, thank you. Enjoying retirement, enjoying being a fan of the Women's Super League now.
Okay, you've got some exciting things to potentially tease to us later on. Not fully tell us, I know, but hopefully a little bit of information. Flo Lloyd-Hughes, football journalist, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Faye. Love to be back.
Always a pleasure. Right. No so-called upsets this weekend, so we're going to go from the top to the top of the table down. So kick things off with Arsenal.
Arsenal on the attack, Nobbs with the finish. An excellent finish from Jordan Nobbs. Trying to find a way through just to unpick the lock on this defence. That's a lovely ball in. Well stretched for two. Ford pounces. And Arsenal's early pressure in this second half pays off. Miedema on the charge. She could wrap this up here for Arsenal. Miedema's been so desperate for the goal and she finds it late on. It finishes here. Arsenal 3, Bristol City 1.
So top of the FAWSL table on goal difference. 3 wins out of 3, but they didn't have it all their own way. Bristol City, of course, going ahead in this one on 6 minutes through Abby Harrison. What have you made of Arsenal so far this season, Jenna? And what did you think of this performance in particular?
Yeah, I think they've obviously started the season really strong. 3 wins, top of the table. They obviously had that blow midweek against Man City. So I think the 3-1 result against Bristol was good for them. Good to get their confidence back up. Jordan Nobbs back scoring again, which is great. Great for Arsenal and England as well. I think Bristol, they defended really well. I think Sophie Bagley had a great game. Although I think Arsenal created so many chances that it could have been anything between 5 or 6 had been without Sophie Bagley in goal.
Yeah, not 11 though, which is what
not
it was
11,
last season.
Yeah, yeah.
11-1 last season. So I think Tanya Oxtoby will be pleased with that. And I mean, she cited Sophie Bagley as being absolutely exceptional in this one, which she was, Flo.
Yeah, I think there's lots for Tanya Oxtoby to be pleased about, because I think last time I was on the show I was talking about the dire position that Bristol might find themselves and the fans could be a little bit worried. But there's something to build on here. They saw an opportunity with that goal early on and they took it. Zinsberger, I think, could have done a little bit better. She saw it late, dived late, and so much space there for Harrison. So I think a lot to be pleased about and some confidence, a confidence boost. Despite the defeat, they got a goal and they limited to 3 instead of 11, like you said, Faye. So some small things for them to take forward.
Yeah, it was their first goal of the season, so that will, as you say, give them some confidence. And actually, post-match, Tanya Oxtoby said that she had to play so many players out of position as well. I mean, positivity going forward that her players are versatile.
Yeah, absolutely. So that they can step up and play in different positions is a credit to them and the players. And you know, at times when you are carrying injuries, that's what you need from your team and your squad. So, yeah, that's definitely a positive for them.
Yeah, so Jordan Nobbs on the score sheet, as Jenna Scalacci said. Another screamer from her as well. She's back on form. It's wonderful to watch. Caitlin Ford as well. And Vivian Miedemar sealing the win. Aston Villa 0, Everton 6. Everton continuing their absolutely superb start to the season. We spoke here on Women's Football Weekly to manager Willie Kirk last week. They were 4-0 up at half-time. Goals from Hayley Rasso, Claire Emsley and Valerie Govan as well. I mean, Jenna, you must be looking at Everton and just thinking what amazing acquisitions they've made and just, you know, they're going to break into this top three, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. If they carry on how they've started, I think I was just really impressed with them. They were relentless in the first half. Hayley Rasso, I think 2 goals and an assist. Thought she was on fire yesterday. And yeah, their new signings as well, producing a goal. So yeah, they're obviously buzzing off of their Wembley fixture coming up. So yeah, I think they're on fire. They are. Yeah, I wouldn't like to be playing against them anytime soon.
No, so Everton did beat Birmingham 3-0 in the Women's FA Cup semi-final midweek. Manchester City, as we mentioned earlier, beat Arsenal 2-1. That final, by the way, is on Sunday, the 1st of November. We'll talk about that shortly because I'm absolutely so excited about that already. Even though it's last season's, it feels like, you know, oh great, we've got an FA Cup final to look forward to. Very exciting. For Aston Villa, though, Flo, still no wins and just the one goal. I mean, it's been a bit of a baptism of fire for them.
Yeah, and for me, what I'm a bit worried about is they don't seem to be learning many lessons from their start to the WSL. In that opening game against Man City, we saw them try and play it out from the back, come under pressure and make mistakes. And they did exactly the same thing against Everton on Saturday. And I think that's what worries me. Anita Asante, very experienced defender. She made her debut on Saturday. And I'm hoping that she'll bring some leadership and experience because she's not going to put up with a scoreline like that. But for me, that's what I'm worried about. Defenders and goalies making the same mistakes, coming under pressure and insisting on play out from the back. And you need to be able to do something different against teams that are going to press you and put you under pressure and make you make those mistakes. Just try something different. Don't just make it harder for yourselves and do that.
Interesting what head coach Gemma Davis said actually about Aston Villa. She says the team is still progressing and they're actually showing signs of development. What can you see from them, Jenna?
I think I agree in that they are still making the same mistakes. And I think in this league, you have to have a plan B. There's going to be times when plan A isn't working and you need to think fast and the players need to take responsibility on the pitch that, you know, that's not working. We need to change. But, you know, having experience of stepping up from the WSL2 myself with Spurs, it's a massive, massive jump. And you do learn so much from each game and you learn most from heavy defeats, I've found personally in my career. So, you know, each game is a learning curve. They'll learn from it. And hopefully, like, as we say, they will now have like a plan B and C so they don't come unstuck in these situations going forward.
What advice would you give to the players having been promoted from the FA Women's Championship up to the WSL? It is a big, you know, massive step in quality difference. What would you say to them to make them keep their heads up, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a massive step. They just need to keep working, keep trusting the process, and, you know, they do have some experience in their team. They just all need to stick together, keep working hard, and it will come off for them. We were Tottenham. We had a great start to WSL, so that gave us confidence going into each match. But you know, as the matches go on and you're not picking up points, I think that's when the confidence becomes a big issue. So it's really important they keep their confidence high.
For Everton, though, Hayley Rasso with her first Everton goal. I mean, she was absolutely superb with the opening two.
Yeah, and it's felt like a long time coming. She's had chances in all Everton's games so far. She also got an assist in that game. She works so hard. She's a little terrier. And when you've got players like Villa, who obviously lacking confidence, feeling quite nervous, she puts them under pressure and she forced them to make a mistake and she just gobbles up the opportunity. She could have had a hat-trick. It could have been 9-0. I think Everton is so excited to watch. So exciting to watch. It's going to be interesting when they play City in the Conti Cup on Wednesday, how both teams come out. Are they going to play a strong 11? Are they going to rest players? Because I think that will be the first sign of Everton against a bigger team, because they have been quite lucky with the fixture list so far.
Yeah, they have. But, you know, not to be underestimated, the confidence that start will give when they then come up against the big teams, if you like. Because if they're already popping in the goals, I mean, Valerie Govan, that header was her fourth goal in five games. That was her first start as well at the weekend. You know, these are important things for a player's mindset, aren't they, Jenna?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they'll all be full of confidence. And if ever they were to come up against the top team, now would be the time for them to do it and maybe cause an upset.
And of course, they're going to face Manchester City on the 1st of November in the Women's FA Cup final as well, which you would expect them to play the strongest team possible for. We will talk about that later on. But that's the top two done, Arsenal and Everton. Chelsea, 2 points behind them. They had a narrow victory over Birmingham City, who remained third from bottom without any points at all. Frank Kirby with the only goal of the game. They were perhaps unlucky not to have got more, but punished for not being clinical, Flo.
Yeah, and a bit like Bristol City, I think Birmingham have a lot to take confidence from with this game. Lots of people are talking about Carla Ward and her fantastic coaching and what she's done with a team who were in dire straits, to be honest. And so I kind of saw this game as a bit more of a reflection on growth for Birmingham rather than Chelsea wasting chances. But an incredible goal line clearance from Harriet Scott that people should take a look at. I don't know how she managed to clear Beth England's header off the line, but I mean they were playing with their backs against the wall. They were clinging on at times, and yeah, Chelsea did waste a few chances. Perhaps Beth England had a goal that shouldn't have been disallowed for offside, but at the same time, for Birmingham to come away against Chelsea with only a 1-0 defeat when Chelsea beat Bristol City 9-0, and in these relegation battles, it's about goal difference. That is a massive boost for them. And for Chelsea, you know, it's another 3 points on the board and their goal of at least winning two trophies this season.
Yeah, that goal was when Sam Kerr was offside but not interfering with play. Another problem referee-wise, and officiating again rearing its head.
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme all over football at the moment. They got the win, they got the 3 points, but I think Birmingham can take a lot of positives with it, and I think they'll be pleased with their performance. They defended very, very well, and their goalkeeper made some outstanding saves.
Hannah Hampton, she's
excellent.
She's
brilliant. She's going to be a top keeper.
Well, she was, I interviewed her actually at the England camp recently, and she'd had three put past her then and was quite disappointed with her performance. But actually, you know, she had made some really good saves and she's still so young as well. So Manchester United and Manchester City are also both on 7 points, along with Chelsea after round three. We'll see how they fared over the weekend next. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. I'm joined by former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd-Hughes. And Women's Football Weekly is the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. We're here every Monday, 6 till 7, bringing you everything you need to know in the game. And if you miss any or you want to listen again, we're available on podcasts, so you can download us and subscribe on Apple and Spotify products. Next up, though, we're going to hear from Manchester City boss Gareth Taylor.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs, and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers and I'm with former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd-Hughes. So we've been going through the WSL table in order. I like to be quite organised and got a little bit of OCD, and I don't normally do this. Normally I pick whatever was the best game, but actually it went quite nicely to plan today, so we're going down the table instead. So Manchester United 3, Brighton 0.
Toon hangs it up. Galton was there. Penalty given. Now it's Toon who scores. A good, confident penalty. Russo for two. And Russo scores. That's how to mark your first start for your brand new club. Erling cross towards that far post and it's in. And Manchester United pick up a third goal to go with the 3 points they'll be collecting for this one. A comfortable victory for Manchester United.
Comfortable in the end for Casey Stoney's side. Letizia with a foul on Adriana Russo to concede the penalty, and Ella Toon scoring. Russo then with a lovely solo effort on her first start as well, and Jane Ross flicking in a third, and that was from a Kristen Press cross. Could have been more, to be honest, couldn't it, for Manchester United? They were fantastic. Looked like a bit of a feisty game as well at Lee Sports Village. I think there were four yellow cards. You don't actually see that often. But what did you make of this, Jenna Scalacci?
I was excited to see how this one panned out because I thought Brighton had quite a strong start, yeah, and were looking strong this season. Obviously, Man United have come out on top. Their new signings making an impact in Russo with their debut goal. And then Heath and Press coming off the bench, Press hitting the post, and then a pinpoint cross from Heath for the third goal. Man United deserved the win, and like you said, could have had a few more goals, I think.
What did you make of Press and Heath when they came on? What difference did they make to Manchester United?
They just look world class, like everything about them, really. It's great to watch, and it's great to have these calibre of players in the WSL.
Flo, from your point of view, Brighton, as Jenna said, had actually started the season quite well. They're on 4 points on seventh, but obviously have dropped down after that defeat. They just didn't show much, did they?
Yeah, I'm with Jenna on that. I was expecting a bit more from them, but I think they did frustrate United pretty much up until that second goal went in. I thought the penalty was harsh. I think similarly to the penalty we'll probably talk about in the Spurs City game, I'm not a fan of those penalties where people sort of just go flying in the box when it's close contact, maybe from a corner or ball in. I think they're a bit harsh. So that was a big turning point. And then basically as soon as the second goal...
Can I just stop you there? Contact's contact in this day and age, Flo.
But it really irritates me.
So the
Gemma Bonner one, I think, we'll go on to about, was very harsh. Yeah, I think Brighton were organised and did well. They didn't have a lot of chances, but they were their usual sort of irritating selves where they just make life difficult for teams. And perhaps they could have got a point out of it until that second goal went in. And then as soon as Press and Heath came on, and Lucy Sandforth getting her debut as well, I think they look so strong. And I'm really excited to see how this team can build now with everyone fit, with everyone who Casey Stoney wants to be there now. They're going to be so exciting to watch. And hopefully we'll see them also progress in a cup competition, because now we're getting up and running and on the Conti Cup and FA Cup part two will be starting soon. So great opportunity for them.
Yeah, it really, really is. And Jenna, I mean, Tottenham, I know it's not your club anymore, technically. However, Tottenham play Manchester United next week. You came up with them from the Championship last season. What have you made of their progression? If you like, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because I think most people compare you both as teams because you came up together, but they seem to just be edging it in terms of progression.
Yeah, I think having come up with them and spending a season in WSL 2, there's a bit of a rivalry between the two teams. I think, you know, that the backing they've had puts them ahead of Spurs, I'm saying us, I'm still...
I don't think you'll ever not do that as captain of them for so long.
But, you know, our games against them have been quite close in recent times, and we've matched them. I think they are now pushing on to the top, knocking on the top door, the top four, the door of that. But, yeah, they've got a young, exciting squad, and the signings they've made, I think, yeah, I'm really excited to see their progression this season and see if they can break into that top four.
knocking on the door of the top four. It's got a really nice ring to it. And actually, it's been a top three, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In the WSL for so long. And it certainly does feel as if that is going to expand. You've got, you know, fantastic work being done by Casey Stoney and Manchester United, and fantastic work being done by Willie Kirk and Everton as well. So exciting times for the WSL in terms of competition. Talking of competition, I mean, nobody would expect to see Manchester City women in fifth place in the table, perhaps. It is early in the season and it is all still very, very close, of course. But this was more like the Manchester City performance we're used to. It was Manchester City 4, sorry Jenna, Tottenham 1.
And again, a fabulous, fabulous effort from Chloe Kelly.
She stayed out doing extras, working on the cutting in and finishing, so it just shows that that's paying off, the doing the extra work.
And a tumble in the penalty area leads to the penalty. And Chloe Kelly with the chance to get her second, Manchester City second. Emphatic.
You know, those situations, penalty kicks, everyone thinks it's easy. You should score on every occasion, but they're not easy.
Tottenham have to be careful with these challenges in the penalty area. That's lovely from Manchester City. Sam Mewis gets on the score sheet.
I think they're natural winners, natural leaders, and I think they just give that extra spark.
Well, it's been her afternoon, Chloe Kelly. She is replaced by Jess Park.
She's just that real threat, that real attacking threat, and I was pleased for her today.
Manchester City with the corner, and it's flicked in. Ellen White has their fourth, and it is bundled in. And Tottenham do have a goal back.
We didn't stop, we kept going, we played to the last minute.
There is the full-time whistle. An emphatic win for Manchester City by 4-1.
I think it's just really starting to click now on the pitch, and that's what we knew would happen.
Chloe Kelly knew it was going to happen. I mean, she left from Everton, arrived at Manchester City. Everton don't seem to have missed her as much as we all thought they would, and she's, you know, started exactly where she left off, joining Manchester City. That was Chloe Kelly, Karen Hills and Gareth Taylor that you heard from there. Now, we've delayed this long enough, Jenna, I'm afraid. You're going to have to discuss your team's performance. Was this just a dominant Manchester City performance or a poor Spurs one?
I think Tottenham will be really disappointed with that result. I think the first half, I think we started well. We were organised. You could see what we were trying to do with the high press, and I think they frustrated Man City. Then the first goal come, controversial. Maybe our players switched off, didn't play to the whistle, but we only have ourselves to blame for that.
That's my pet hate when, yeah. And we need to explain the context for people who maybe didn't watch the highlights of the game or watch it on the FA player. One of your players, was it Kit?
Yeah, Kit Graham.
Kit Graham was down, injured, and Manchester City carried on, went on and scored, but all the Tottenham players just stopped. Now, in any Sunday league, just play to the whistle. It drives me mad. This is a professional team. That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, definitely not. And I know the coaching staff won't be happy with that, and neither will the players. You have to play to the whistle. I think, you know, they did fight. They did put up a fight. We got a goal back. Angela, I'd be pleased for Angela. But I think, you know, the second goal kind of killed the game a bit with the penalty, which we've discussed earlier. I think it was a very weak, very weak decision. It was.
Let's let Flo come in on that, because she's not happy with it.
I'm sorry, but when for me, you can see in a player's size difference how gravity and the laws of science will work. And sometimes if someone's flying in the air like Peter Pan, it's just not physically possible. So those kind of things do irritate me. I think something I want to ask Jenna actually is, obviously, Becky Spencer had a knock on her ankle. And a bit like I was saying earlier with Villa, I was surprised that Spurs kept trying to play it out from the back when she was clearly feeling a bit uncomfortable. And for me, I wanted to see a bit more of that plan B, because obviously, you know, City were very confident and pressing high as well, and you had White and Kelly and Becky putting pressure on the back four and Spencer. So I was just surprised that they kept trying to want to do that.
Yeah, I think Tottenham, we have a certain way we like to play, and last season we learnt the hard way against Reading in a Conti Cup that we need a plan B C and D for every match you go into in this league. And yeah, like you say, Becky took a knock. I don't think she'll be very pleased getting, you know, her teammates not recognising that, but I think that would have been dealt with at half time, hopefully. But yeah, we do have I know that the coaching staff look at all different scenarios going down 1-0 and how we react to the different, the way the game pans out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what Spurs can do this season. We'll talk about them more in a second. Manchester City, though, face Chelsea next week. Really excited about that one. It has been a tough start for Spurs, though. It doesn't get any easier either. After the Conti Cup group game against London City on Wednesday, they face Manchester United and Arsenal in the league. Here's co-manager Karen Hill's take on that.
We have got a tough run, but so is a lot of other teams, and that's no excuse. We know that it's going to be a tough run, but at the same time, that's what you want. You want to be tested, you want to be challenged, but at the same time, you want to see an improvement and you want to see that progression. And as long as we're progressing and we're learning along the way, then that's all we can ask for our players.
That's a really good point there from co-manager of Spurs, Karen Hills, actually. Tottenham obviously hoping to have their star signing, Alex Morgan, available at some point soon as well. And we're going to be hearing from her shortly. But last but not least, it's not been a happy start for West Ham at their new home of Dagenham and Redbridge. Another defeat, this time at the hands of Reading, by just one goal, though, which will give manager Matt Beard a little bit of hope after conceding so many to Arsenal. Lauren Bruton with the only goal of the game, leaving Reading on 6 points in sixth place, and West Ham with just the solitary point on the board so far. It's been a tough season for Matt Beard so far, Flo.
Yeah, and obviously I was in with him a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about the documentary and the spotlight maybe that shone on some characters behind the scenes and that group. And I think they'll be a bit worried about the start that they've made this season. I think yesterday, obviously, Ken Zidane missed a penalty, and it's sort of like what might have been, because in a sort of sliding doors universe, they could have come away with a point or a win from that game.
But Leon hit the post as well. Yeah. Had Grace Maloney tipped it onto the post.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. To Reading's credit, Grace Maloney was man of the match. Yeah. She had an exceptional game. So I guess not to focus too much on West Ham, but they need to start changing things. And they've got the talent there. It's just things aren't quite clicking. On paper, you look at a front three of Daly, Lehmann and Leon, and you think, wow, that, you know, that's something for defenders to be scared of. But they just blow so hot and cold, Lehmann and Leon. And you know, they can do fantastic things in games, like that first game against Spurs when Leon scores that screamer, but then in other games they don't really turn up. And Leon had a good game yesterday, but she couldn't get the goal, and West Ham is still searching for that first one in the season.
Reading, however, just quietly going about their business very nicely. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, joined by former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd-Hughes. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading and subscribing at our podcast, which is available through Apple and Spotify products. Just search Talk Sport Women's Football Weekly. Coming up, we sit down with World Cup winner and Tottenham's brand new signing, Alex Morgan, and find out what she's like in the dressing room too, on the only dedicated national radio show for women's football.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Leah Williamson from Arsenal Women, and you can follow the WSL on Talk Sport 2.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers and I'm with former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd-Hughes. Now then, there was a very special signing over the summer. There were a number of them, to be honest, but, you know, there was one in particular that certainly got everybody excited. And the commercial side of women's football has really been gathering pace for quite a while now, but it felt like such a step change when FAWSL clubs started bringing over huge names in the world of women's football, including the likes of Sam Kerr and Pernilla Harder for Chelsea. And of course, five members of the World Cup winning USA side are also now plying their trade in England. So Sam Lewis and Rose Lavelle at Manchester City, Tobin Heath and Kristen Press at Manchester United. And apart from Megan Rapinoe, probably one of the most famous female footballers on the planet, Alex Morgan is now a teammate, or would have been a teammate, of Jenna Scalacci, I should say. Sorry, Jenna, at Spurs. And before we ask Jenna what she's heard the gossip from the dressing room about how the American superstars fitted in, let's hear from the woman herself, shall we? She's been sitting down to chat to TalkSport's Bradley Hayden.
Your move to Tottenham Hotspur has created a lot of widespread attention. What was it that made you join Spurs, and why is it you've made the decision to come to the WSL at this time in your career?
Actually, it was quite unexpected, I would say, but I've joined the Spurs because the WSL has done such a great job bringing over such great talent and doing well competing as one of the top leagues in the world. I also felt like in the U.S. right now, I knew that after pregnancy, I needed to get games in, as many games as possible, leading into 2021. Knowing that the Olympics hopefully will move forward next year. And so I wanted to make sure to put myself in the best position possible to get fit and ready for that. And I thought that competing in one of the best leagues in the world right now, while, you know, it started back up after lockdown and everything, was the best option for me.
Don't worry, Tottenham Hotspur fans, Alex Morgan has not turned into a Dalek on the flight over from the USA. Unfortunately, Tottenham had a lot of Wi-Fi problems with this interview. She sat down to talk to a number of journalists, including our very own Bradley Hayden of TalkSport. And unfortunately, the audio quality wasn't great. We would have loved to have brought you a much longer chat with Alex Morgan, but hopefully you heard exactly what she had to say there about her excitement about coming over to ply her trade in the WSL. She did have a baby in May. We've talked about it on the show before, so she's getting her fitness back. But what I want to know, as a former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, is what your original reaction was when you heard that your club was signing this superstar.
Well, when I first read it on my Twitter feed, I had to rub my eyes just to make sure I was reading it right. I was completely shocked, but what an amazing signing for the club, for Spurs women, for the WSL, and for Tottenham, the club in general. It was an incredible signing, and as you say, she's just working on getting her fitness back. So I feel like it's a deal that kind of works both ways for the club and for the player. Tottenham need goals, and who else would you want coming off the bench or starting than one of the best strikers in the world? So it's an incredible signing, and I think it just shows how far Tottenham women have come. To think three seasons ago we were in WSL 2, and now we've got one of the biggest strikers in the world playing for us.
I know you're still in touch with all the girls at Tottenham. What anecdotally can you tell us about how Alex Morgan's fitting in?
Yeah, the girls I've spoken to have all been very positive. She seems like a humble, nice, shy girl and player to have around. And I think what a player to have around, the experience she's got. You know, she's won World Cups, Golden Boots. So it's priceless to have someone like that in your squad.
Has anybody had a rib at her about the tea gesture, the World Cup tea gesture?
I saw a little dig on Twitter the other day, but nothing that I've heard of.
Yeah. I heard someone did it in training. I don't know who it was, but someone scored against her in training. I was reading in a piece, and she talked about how they did the T gesture after scoring against her, and everyone fell about laughing. So I think she's taken it well.
Yeah.
Who's the more likely that to have been?
I know, exactly. Probably Lucy Quinn, I'd say.
She's got that in her.
Yeah, definitely. I did read that she wasn't going to use that as a celebration, though. I'm not sure where I read that. But yeah, we'll see when she starts scoring.
I would say it's inadvisable.
Yeah.
No fans, though, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But it goes all over the world in the FA Player.
It is. So. FA Player is free to watch, so you're in trouble there.
Absolutely, and it is. Flo, how excited are you? I mean, we still don't know exactly when we're going to see her grace the pitch, but you know, I know that Jenna's going to be able to tell us what she's doing in training and who she's training with at the moment. But when she does make her mark, what are you expecting? An instant impact from her?
Yeah, I hope so. I am a little bit worried about how much hype and pressure there's being put on her, because the stat that everyone has been talking about is the fact that as an individual, she has more followers on Instagram than the Spurs men's team. She is an icon. She is a global sporting icon. And I'm just a little bit worried about how much pressure we're putting on her to not only carry a team, but almost carry a league on her back for the next few weeks. And if she's not fit and she can't start for a while, I don't want it to feel like a disappointment. I'm hoping people's expectations are not lowered, but maybe the reality is that she's a player who hasn't played in a very long time. She hasn't played since last year, she said in that interview. And it's going to take her a while to get up to her best. When Carly Lloyd came over, I don't think she really hit the levels that people expected for her. So I'm hoping that, you know, we won't be talking about this in 6 months and saying that, you know, maybe she wasn't as good as we hoped she would be. I hope she can find that form that we know she has in her.
But does it actually matter? Because when you think about it, from a commercial point of view,
exactly.
This was a genius move from Tottenham's point of view. And you've seen it with other clubs and what they've done. You know, they've realised the global impact of women's football and how, you know, in times of COVID, when we most clubs are incredibly cash strapped, bringing in superstars like this that have global appeal, that will get an American audience watching the WSL, is going to be really crucial going forward.
Yeah, massive. And obviously within weeks of Heath Press, Mewis, Lavelle being announced, the FA also announced that two deals with US broadcasters and still games available for free in FA Player. So it's massive. And I think regardless of maybe how she does on the pitch, off the pitch, it will be seen as a success. And it is, you know, Jenna said it is mutually beneficial because she gets game time. She hopefully gets her spot in the Olympic Games. The US will probably win the Olympic Games. Spurs sell loads of shirts. I just hope fans will be back to see it, because that is what could be quite disappointed about this year, is we've got the biggest names in women's football here and potentially no fans will get to see them, and that will be so gutting.
Oh, that just makes me sad every time we talk about it. Jenna, from a training point of view and from what she can actually bring to the dressing room and in and around the girls at Spurs, what can she bring? Because I know she's training with some of the youngsters at the minute.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's got that winning mentality, like all the USA players that have come over. She's won World Cup, she's won major tournaments, she's won league, she's won Golden Boots. You know, you need that in your dressing room if you're going to be winners. And I think at Spurs, we've got a young, talented squad. And I think having someone like Alex Morgan in your squad training with them on a day-to-day basis, I mean, it's what more would you want as a young aspiring, like a footballer who's just starting out the trade? So I think having her is priceless. I think her experience, her knowledge and what she can give to the girls, and it's just another boost. And it's just, I think it's a great move. And I just, like everyone else, I can't wait to see her on the pitch. But I think when the time is right, people have to remember that she needs to get her fitness up. You don't want to rush her back, get her injured and then back to square one. So,
yeah, I think you're both right with that. There is a lot of pressure on her, and I do feel as if on Women's Football Weekly we've been talking about her potentially stepping foot on the pitch for weeks and weeks and weeks. However, talking from the commercial side of it again, Flo, the news today that you sent me earlier on, and was fascinating, that sales of Kristen Press and Tobin Heath shirts actually outsold any of those of Manchester United's men's players for the first 3 days after their high-profile signings. Just going to put a caveat here. It wasn't after the 6-1 defeat to Spurs yesterday, by the way. This was when they signed, but anyway.
Yeah, no, story in the Daily Mail today about that. And I think one of my big predictions of the season, completely not to do with results, was about the fact that I thought that the a women's shirt would outsell a men's shirt at a club for the first time. And we've seen an example of that. So for 3 days after their arrival, they were outselling the Man United men's shirts. And I think that that just shows the impact of these players, because I think we've seen a lot in the media about how big they are. But I think perhaps football people who predominantly follow men's football don't actually quite realise the size and scale of who these people are as individuals, as celebrities, really. And as soon as they move club, all their fans follow with them. It's like Ronaldo, it's like Messi. It's not really about who they're playing for, it's about who they are. And this is a prime example of that. And I think the clubs have been savvy. They've done, you know, cheap US international shipping. They've worked it out. And I think it's great to be able to see that it works. An example of that, because all those people who say, you know, no one cares about women's football is, well, actually loads of people do, and they will spend a lot of money on it as well.
And that's what I was going to ask you, actually, is whether or not there was a breakdown on the figures about where those shirts were going. Were they UK sales or were they going to the States?
I think it's probably a bit of both. I imagine a lot of UK women's fans, I mean, obviously we have some real clear club rivalries, and I think it would be quite difficult for a City or a Liverpool fan to bear giving money to Manchester United. So I think in England, our rivalries are very clear and you know, sometimes quite nasty. So I would imagine most of it is going to the States, but I think a lot of people in the UK would have been buying shirts as well.
Yeah, exciting signings all round, exciting commercial deals all around for women's football at the moment. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2. I'm Faker Ruthers. You've been listening to the thoughts of former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd Hughes. If you do miss any of the show, you can either catch up by downloading the Talk Sport app or subscribe to our podcast, which is on Apple and Spotify products. Now, FA Women's Championship fans, we're putting your clubs in the spotlight next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Hi, I'm Georgia Stanway, and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
As the voiceover man said, this is the home of women's football. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faker Ruthers, joined by former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci and journalist Flo Lloyd Hughes. So Women's Football Weekly is in its regular 6 till 7 p.m. slot every Monday night on TalkSport 2. And we also now have a regular feature that we want you guys to get involved in. So every week we're going to pick a person, a club, or an event from the world of women's football to shine our spotlight on, or a player that we want to get to know a bit better, perhaps. But we want you to come up with some suggestions for us of whose story you'd like to hear. Is there a player, a coach, or a team, perhaps, either past or present, who you'd like to know a little bit more about? So if so, tweet us at TalkSport2 or at Faker Ruthers, or email on womensfootballweekly at talksport.co.uk, our new email address, with your suggestions, and we'll see what we can do. Now, this week, I know this is going to put a smile on one of our listeners in particular's face. Derek Purcell messages me every single week. He's a massive Durham fan. I'm so delighted to give him a shout out. And this week, we're putting the FA Women's Championship in the spotlight.
Involved there, and so too is Roberts, who unleashes an unstoppable volley.
The FA Women's Championship was previously branded as FA WSL 2 when it replaced the FA Women's Premier League National Division in 2014. The 2019-20 season was the second season of the rebranded FA Women's Championship, drawn to a close early due to COVID-19. Aston Villa were crowned the new champions with a 6-point lead and an unbeaten season under their belt. Charlton were spared relegation as the leagues below the Championship were declared null and void, meaning there are now 11 teams fighting for promotion to the WSL this season. The 2020-21 Championship campaign started behind closed doors on the 5th of September. So let's take a look at the season so far.
Curls it over the wall and right into the top corner, and Durham are back in the lead again. Ball in from Linnett, wonderful touch from Lawley, who makes it 1-0, and it's taken Liverpool just 11 minutes to break down Coventry United. Millie Lee, the number 13, it's lucky for Lewis,
After being relegated to the Championship from the WSL, Liverpool have bounced back with three wins and a draw from their first four games, including yesterday's 2-1 win against 8th place Coventry United, and are currently sitting 2 points clear at the top of the table.
Chance may be here for Melissa Johnson!
Last season's runners-up, Sheffield United, have started strongly with two wins and a draw from their opening three matches, and with the game in hand, they are a sure contender for this season's promotion place. Other clubs with the game in hand are Lewis, Charlton, Coventry, Blackburn and Leicester City Women, who were taken over by the men's club parent company in August of this year and became fully professional in the process.
Leicester City, last minute of the game. Natasha Flint, right into the corner.
They have started with strong intentions, sitting in the middle of the table with 5 points from three games. The biggest scoreline at the weekend was Crystal Palace's 4-1 win over the London Bees, which pushed Palace to 6th place with 5 points just below Leicester City on goal difference.
Oh, Jade Haynes. Oh, right in the top corner. That is sensational. Bianca Baptiste lifts home Crystal Palace's 3rd. Coral Jade Haynes makes it 4-0 from the spot.
At the other end of the table, the London City Lionesses have just 1 point from 4 games, with their draw against Crystal Palace the only difference between them and the relegation spot. Early season strugglers London Bees are yet to get off the mark and the bottom of the table after 4 games. All very much to play for until now and the end of the season in May. We will keep the Championship in the spotlight throughout the season.
That was TalkSport 2's Scott Taylor there, putting the FA Women's Championship in the spotlight for you. Now, here on Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, we don't very often get to talk about the Championship because we run out of time, because there's always so much to talk about. And I hate the fact that we don't get to focus on them. So I'm delighted that we're going to be able to bring you news more in depth every week. So Liverpool Women at top of the table after relegation from the WSL last season. Do you think they're going to be able to bounce straight back, Jenna Scalacci?
Having played with Rachel Furness, they're now captain. She's an absolute winner, and you know they've got all that experience from the WSL. I can't see any other outcome than them bouncing straight back.
Durham up to 2nd as well. Sheffield United haven't played as many games, neither have Lewis or Leicester. They've only played 3, so you know, looking to put the pressure on the top two there. Who for you is promotion candidate this season, Flo?
Definitely Liverpool, and I potentially Sheffield and Leicester. I think we heard on that segment about the changes that Leicester have brought in, going fully professional, really backing that team, and I think they'd be one of fighting for that. They got to the latter stages of the 1920 FA Cup, which was a big for them, the last Championship team standing in that competition. Sheffield United came 2nd last season, obviously lost their manager Carlo Ward to Birmingham, but they've got Neil Redfern in, ex-Liverpool manager, so there's a bit of rivalry there, which
love
I think
that
will be good. So I'm hoping as the season progresses we'll see a bit of a Sheffield-Liverpool fight for that top spot. And I think that would be a really, really interesting battle.
Right, before we go, we must touch on the Conti Cup that's happening this week. Apologies if you're listening to this podcast after Wednesday. You'll know all the results, but hey-ho, this is what we're here for. It's Monday in our world, as it stands. And a really tantalising meet-up for Aston Villa against Sheffield United, who were the top two fighting out in the Championship last season. Durham Coventry, Tottenham London City Lionesses, Chelsea Arsenal. What are we expecting?
I think the most interesting thing is what kind of teams they're going to put out, because Arsenal's whole sort of shtick is that they don't have a very deep squad. So if they're going to progress, they're going to need to probably pay a pretty decent team. It is group games. We've also got weird afternoon kickoff times, which I think has never happened before. So the whole thing is a little bit strange. Also, can't really watch the games, which, as much as I love the FA player, it's quite difficult. So I have no idea what to expect from these ones.
No, absolutely. But we love that. You know, very, very women's football, unpredictable,
exactly,
isn't it? Liverpool, Manchester United, Man City, Everton, which we touched upon earlier on, Brighton against West Ham, Reading against Charlton, Bristol City, London Bees, Lewis against Crystal Palace, and then on Thursday, Blackburn against Birmingham City. Right, it's flown by again, as always. What have you got planned for the week, Jenna Scalacci?
Working hard, coaching. I've got a new company out, so I'm busy with coaching the younger generation.
So you've set up your own coaching company, I understand.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you might have some other potential news for us soon.
Hopefully, fingers crossed by the end of the week.
Okay, well, we'll wait. We'll break that on Monday, next Monday on Women's Football Weekly. Flo Lloyd-Hughes, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Faye. I love it.
I've got you booked in another few weeks, so looking forward to that. Thanks again to Jenna Scalacci and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. Thanks to you all for listening and taking part as ever. Next week, really exciting, former FA director Dame Heather Rabatz is with us to discuss the latest developments from women in football, so don't miss that. Of course, any questions for us during the week, you can email us at womensfootballweekly@talksport.co.uk. That's a brand new email we've set up for this season. You can also tweet us at TalkSport2 or at Faye Carruthers as well. And as ever, if you miss any of the show or you want to listen back to any of our lockdown specials, then you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast, which is available on Apple and Spotify products.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hello, this is Kelly Chambers from Redden FC Women. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.